Hi, good evening. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, your FibroDoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me for my Tuesday night Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. Tonight, we're going to have a special topic. I'm going to be talking about how your thyroid may be playing a role in some of your fibromyalgia symptoms. I'm going to be going over some details about how low thyroid function is actually much more common than doctors will lead you to believe. And I find that in my practice, probably about 60% of patients I work with have something wrong with their thyroid. So we're going to go into detail about that this evening. A little bit about me. I'm a board-certified chiropractic physician, board-certified nutritional specialist. I've been in private practice for 26 years, and for the last 20 years, I've specialized in fibromyalgia. For the last 7 years, my practice has evolved to where 98%, 95% of my practice is phone consults, and I get to work with patients all over the world. I use natural methods. If you've not read my book, I certainly would encourage you to do that, available at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or many bookstores throughout North America. But in my book, I go into great detail about how using high doses, when the right combinations of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential fatty acids, you actually can correct the underlying biochemical deficiencies and breakdowns that are leading to many of the symptoms that we see in fibromyalgia. We know that drug therapy alone is a dead end for fibromyalgia. Most patients find that out the hard way because they find that the medications that they've been taking over the years are not very helpful, to say the least. And unfortunately, many of the medications they're taking actually create more problems. For a number of years, I owned a very large integrative medical practice on the campus of Brookwood Hospital here in Birmingham, Alabama. And when I had that practice, we did use prescription medications, but what we found is that those prescription medications did not help the patient long-term, and they often created more problems. So in 2003, I sold that medical practice, and I've been out practicing solo ever since. And I had learned the hard way that drug therapy, at least drug therapy alone, is a dead end for fibromyalgia. It can be helpful, no doubt about it. I'm not anti-drug by any means. I think there's a time and a place for that. Sometimes it's your only option, and it can certainly there's a time and place where it's life-saving. But for most people, what we need to realize is that drug therapy leads to more side effects, more symptoms, and you can't drug your way out of fibromyalgia. There's just too many symptoms to cover up. So if you're taking a drug to cover up or suppress every symptom, before you know it, you're on half a dozen to a dozen drugs. And with fibromyalgia, that causes the doctor to become pretty frustrated and certainly causes you to become frustrated as well. So, again, one of the things I want to talk about, the main thing I want to talk about tonight is your thyroid. And for you that have not read the book, I'm going to go over some of the information I share in detail in my book, but there's going to be a lot of information in here that you're going to want to get down on paper. So I don't know if we're gonna pass this recording on. I record most of these teleconferences. Some of these we share with you on the website, my website, yourfibrodoctor.com, and you can go to that website. You can see or listen to past webinars or audio teleconferences. So you certainly can do that, but you don't always get all of them up there. So I would encourage you to have a pad and pen available and take some notes. Some of this is going to be a little bit over your head. Some of it may be too simplistic for some of you, but there is. I'm going to be using some terms you may not be familiar with. So, again, I encourage you to take some notes. Well, let's talk about your thyroid. The thyroid gland, which is shaped kind of like a butterfly, is located in the lower front of your neck. You know, it's just above your breastbone. And this gland is responsible for releasing thyroid hormones. Now, hormones travel through your bloodstream, and then they cause cellular reactions to occur. And one of the main things that your thyroid does is it helps cells convert oxygen and calories from foods that we eat into energy. Basically, your thyroid hormones control your metabolism. They control your cellular energy. And what we see is that thyroid function is crucial for every cell, every system in the body. Thyroid hormones control your heart rate, your body weight, again, your metabolism, your body temperature, your energy level, your muscle strength. It controls menstrual regularity, controls your bowel movements. It helps to maintain proper growth, and it helps to regulate certain neurotransmitters, brain chemicals that allow you to think correctly, to be happy. It affects brain function, moods, emotions. It basically controls every cell in the body. And so when there's something wrong with your thyroid gland, it's no wonder that you have all sorts of different symptoms that show up from that, including fatigue, which is probably the number one thing that we see with people with low thyroid, and it's the number one thing that we, you know, really see that, and of course, pain with fibromyalgia. We also see with the symptoms associated with low thyroid, headaches, migraines, dry skin, fluid retention, weight gain. Weight gain is a big one because if your metabolism, your cellular energy is compromised, you find that you can't burn those calories that you're eating like you're supposed to, and you start to gain weight. You also may have cold hands, cold feet, poor memory, brain fog, hair loss, losing your voice, having a hoarseness to your voice or a deepening in your voice, low moods, anxiety, joint and muscle pain, burning or tingling in your hands and feet. All of these are signs of a low thyroid function. So you can see or you can hear that thyroid hormones play a role in just about every system, every process in your body. And you need to realize that the thyroid's main purpose is to produce, store, and release two very important hormones. So one of those is T3, and the other one is T4. And T3 hormone is a combination of the amino acid L-tyrosine and then three iodine molecules, whereas T4 is a combination of L-tyrosine and four iodine molecules. Now, L-tyrosine is an amino acid. You can buy that over-the-counter, so some people would try to use over-the-counter remedies or supplements to help boost their thyroid function, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this evening. Your thyroid hormones, when we look at the two, the difference between the two is that T3 is the active hormone, and 80% of the thyroid hormones are T4 hormones, and only 7% are T3 hormones, but T3 is considered the active hormone because it's four times stronger or more active than T4. Now, you know, listen to this. This is very important. 80% of T3, which is the most active form of thyroid hormones, comes from the conversion of T4 into the more active T3, and this conversion takes place in the liver. Very important. 20% of T4 becomes active in the intestines. Now, the reason I bring that up is because if you've got a problem with a sluggish liver, where your liver is not working like it should, or perhaps you're carrying around excess weight, which would be a very common thing we would see with low thyroid, although you don't have to be overweight to have a problem with your thyroid. But if you're carrying around extra weight, that can lead to fatty liver. Or if you're taking a lot of prescription medications or you're taking Xanaflex or Ambien or pain medications, these can cause a sluggish liver or fatty liver. So there is a real strong possibility that you're not making the conversion of T4 into T3. Because remember, it's got to be converting in the liver. And if your liver is not working correctly, you may start to see have problems in your thyroid. Now, the other conversion happens in the intestinal tract. So if you've got a lot of bad bacteria in your intestinal tract and taking antibiotics over the year, taking steroids or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories over the year, you got a condition called leaky gut that I talk about in the book, then you might have an inability to convert T4 into T3. And you find oftentimes you'll go get blood work done and they'll tell you all your blood work is normal. Well, a big part of that is they're not doing real thorough testing for your thyroid. So they're doing kind of basic testing. They're certainly not looking at your liver function, and they're not looking at whether you have leaky gut or bacterial overgrowth in your intestinal tract. They're not looking at that. And if they're not, there's a good chance they can miss things. One of the things that happens is that you can get a problem with the conversion of T4 into T3 when you get under too much stress. And really, for fibromyalgia, I've said this before on past conferences, and I go into detail about it in my book, but stress really is the catalyst for fibromyalgia. It could be years of stress, chronic stress, things that happen, you know, taking care of a special needs child or an invalid parent or being in a very stressful marriage or having a stressful job or just overdoing it day after day, month after month, year after year. If something comes along that's a straw that breaks the camel's back and you're never the same again. It could be something that's an acute stress, something that happens just out of the blue, that's just so overwhelming, it just takes it out of you. Maybe you had not been getting enough sleep. Maybe you were run down and something came along like an illness. Maybe you had a hysterectomy. Maybe it's the birth of one of your children. Whatever it is, it comes along, and it's the straw that breaks the camel's back, and you're never the same again. When that happens, that sets you up. It predisposes you to have a problem with your thyroid, because what can happen is T4 has to convert into the active T3, but if you get under too much stress, you release another hormone called reverse T3. And listen up, what do you think reverse T3 does? It reverses the conversion of inactive T4 into active T3. Now, doctors are not testing for this, so when you go get blood work and they tell you that your TSH is all normal or your T4 is all normal, they're not checking to see if it's converting. To complicate the blood test, we don't know how much TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, is actually in the cell. I mean, what we're measuring is how much is in the blood. So because of that, we're really guessing, because thyroid hormones don't do anything in the bloodstream. They have to get into the cells to create a reaction. And because we can't measure that, we're only guessing that if you've got this much thyroid-stimulating hormone in your bloodstream, then it's okay. But when you start to guess with a very complicated patient who has fibromyalgia, you're setting yourself up for missing a golden opportunity to help the patient uncover something that they've had, that if you start working with them, as I do with my patients, to solve that problem, you'll see amazing turnarounds in how people feel pretty quickly. So thorough testing is really key for uncovering the problems that we see with low thyroid. And we see really, you know, in America, according to the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, there's over 27 Americans who suffer with some type of thyroid dysfunction, half of which, they say, go undiagnosed. And if we, again, what happens oftentimes is stress, which again is the catalyst for fibromyalgia, it catches up with the fibromyalgia patient, because after years and years of poor sleep, getting run down, maybe taking medications that are creating more stress to the body, eventually they deplete certain chemicals that they need, certain stress coping chemicals that I talk about in the book, that they need to process to allow these hormones to work like they're supposed to. And if they don't have these key nutrients like zinc and iodine and vitamins A, B, B2, B3, B6, vitamin C, and then the amino acid L-tyrosine, as I mentioned earlier, then they can't even make T4. So T4 has got to be made from the foods that we eat. We should be creating T4, and then T4 creates T3. But selenium, a lot of people are deficient in not only zinc and A, vitamin A, and the B vitamins and C, because the Dietary Association of America says that roughly 80% of Americans are deficient in the RDA of at least one, if not several, of the vitamins and minerals they need on a daily basis. Now, the RDA is the recommended disease allowance. It's just enough to keep you from getting beriberi or scurvy. It's not enough to amount of vitamins and minerals to really to create what you want, which is optimal health, a way to get healthy. So you have to take high doses and the right doses and combinations of vitamins, minerals, and amino acids to be healthy, to overcome these biochemical deficiencies that you've acquired over the years because you've gotten so run down with fibromyalgia. And if you're deficient, which most everybody in fibromyalgia is, you're going to see that more than likely your thyroid is either not working or it's extremely sluggish and certainly not working as well as it could. And part of that is because your nutrition is deficient. Your nutrition, your essential nutrients that you need is deficient, and that creates some of these problems that you see. We know that a deficiency in just about any of the B vitamins, which is a very common thing I see in my practice, my fibromyalgia patients, will contribute to a low thyroid function. Low levels of copper, manganese. Now, just about everyone with fibromyalgia is low in magnesium, unless you're supplementing magnesium. I can just say that because I've been doing this 20 years. I know that in the previous years, I used to test everybody in RBC and plasma tests for magnesium. I quit doing that because what I found was everybody was deficient in magnesium. The general population, people who are quote-unquote the walking healthy, supposedly healthy, who don't have fibromyalgia, 50% of them are deficient in magnesium. Why are people deficient in magnesium? Because magnesium is one of your stress-coping minerals. The more stress you get under, the more magnesium you deplete. You need magnesium to be able to do physical and mental stress. When you see somebody who's running on the football field and just all of a sudden stops and they have a cramp, that's coming because they depleted their magnesium. You see somebody out running and they get a Charlie horse. They depleted their magnesium. Magnesium is in 300 different bodily processes, and when you get low in it, you start having all kind of problems, the very problems that we see in fibromyalgia, diffuse aching, sometimes debilitating muscle pain, joint pain, low energy, depression, anxiety, constipation. Magnesium is a natural muscle relaxer, so it helps relax your muscles as well as helps to relax your colon. It's needed to help you make the happy hormones, serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine. And when you're low in magnesium, you find oftentimes that you have low moods. And I would encourage you, if you're not taking a good multivitamin, I would encourage you to do that. Obviously, if you've been on my website, if you read my book, I'm pretty partial to my CFS fibro formula because I've developed that years ago for my fibro patient. It has high doses, but the right doses and combinations of vitamins, minerals, and all the amino acids, which you need to make thyroid hormones, as well as the brain chemicals, all that is in there along with extra magnesium. And you can learn more about that on my website, yourfibrodoctor.com. You can go to the store and read all about that. You certainly can, you know, you can get a multivitamin anywhere, and but you need to be taking a good multivitamin with plenty of magnesium. And I recommend that you start with a minimum of 500 milligrams of magnesium a day. Now, a couple of things to keep in mind, too, as I go into a little more detail here. Many of you are taking antidepressants, and you're doing that because you're low in serotonin. Now, if you've listened to any of these teleconferences or you've read my book, you know that the antidepressants are no better than a sugar pill at 70% of the time. Now, I don't make this up. That's what meta-analysis or analytical studies show, an analysis that they take all these different studies, hundreds and hundreds of studies, and they show that people who take antidepressants don't do any better than those who take a sugar pill in 70% of those studies. Now, don't stop your antidepressants. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying that taking an antidepressant oftentimes does not lead to you feeling much better or reducing your pain, as you already know that. No one has a Cymbalta deficiency. No one has a Celexa or a Lexapro deficiency. Those prescription medications are designed to help you hang on to serotonin, which is a hormone that you should be getting through the proper diet. You take in 5-hydroxytryptophan or L-tryptophan plus certain B vitamins, magnesium, there it is, and vitamin C, and that creates serotonin. But with fibromyalgia, you get so depleted in these minerals, you hadn't slept in years, so you deplete your stress coping chemicals. Pretty soon, you're deficient in serotonin. And the antidepressants don't make serotonin. They only help you hang on to what you have. But if you're using a gasoline additive in an empty gasoline tank, it's not going to do anything. So if you're deficient in serotonin and you're taking Cymbalta to help you make serotonin, you know, number one, it doesn't make serotonin, but to help you hang on to it, it's not going to do much. Now, you also need to keep in mind, in context of what we're talking about, is that antidepressants actually alter the HPA axis. The HPA axis is something I talk about in great deal. It's our self-regulating system of the body. It helps coordinate and regulate our digestive system, our sleep-wake cycle, our pain threshold, our immune system, our digestion, our elimination. This system is what breaks down and causes fibromyalgia and leads to central pain sensitivity syndrome, what we see with fibromyalgia where pain is magnified. But antidepressants, they alter this HPA axis, and they make the thyroid-releasing hormone and the thyroid-stimulating hormone less effective, so they don't operate like they should. And then they divert L-tyrosine, which I mentioned just a moment ago, this amino acid, the precursor for neurotransmitters, dopamine, norepinephrine, and they divert that into other biochemical reactions, which then makes it deficient in the ability to be able to make T4 and T3. If you're taking methadone or synthetic estrogens, or you're taking Dilantin, and many other medications, but those in particular can also create a problem where it compromises your thyroid function. Abilify, Seroquel, some of these medications that people are taking to help with their sleep or to regulate their moods, those also squelch your thyroid function. They can compromise your thyroid function so that it doesn't work like it's supposed to. Now, what I'd like to do is shift into a little bit about the testing, because this is, you know, really what do you want to know about how do you get tested and what are those tests, you know, what the tests mean. And I want to share that with you. But before I do, I've got to explain this thing called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Now, Hashimoto's thyroiditis is a swelling or an inflammation of thyroid gland that leads to a reduced thyroid function. It's the number one cause of low thyroid. Now, when your thyroid is underperforming, when we say you have low thyroid function, when it slows down, then we call that hypothyroidism. When you're getting too much thyroid hormones in your system, when it speeds up, we call that hyperthyroidism. Tonight, we're just going to talk about hypothyroidism, low thyroid function. Now, what we see is, with a lot of patients that have fibromyalgia, they get Hashimoto's thyroiditis and it's never properly diagnosed. What is Hashimoto's thyroiditis? Well, it's an autoimmune disease where the body, erroneously attacks the thyroid tissue. And it can be brought on by a virus or a bacteria, some type of illness, some type of bug that your body is exposed to. Your immune system kicks in and it does what it's supposed to. It tries to kill the bacteria or the virus or whatever the bug is, but it is overly aggressive and it attacks the thyroid tissue. And then from then on out, it thinks that your thyroid tissue is a foreign invader and it continues to attack your thyroid tissue. This can lead to low thyroid function. And what we see with Hashimoto's thyroiditis is that it's missed routinely. It's a test that can be done, that can be picked up, but doctors don't test for it. What happens is doctors, if they ever do test for it, and rarely do they do, including endocrinologists who are thyroid specialists, they don't test for it. Let me tell you why. because if you have the beginning of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and you would know that if they did the right testing, and what you want to be tested for is T as in Paul, O antibodies, thyroid antibodies, TPO and TGB. If those antibodies are elevated, it's a sign that you're in the beginning of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and it doesn't matter what your TSH level is. So many of you are probably asking, well, what is TSH? You keep saying TSH. When you go to your primary care doctor, typically what they're going to check for is your thyroid stimulating hormone. And when you see it on your lab report, it's going to say TSH. What they're looking for is your TSH going up or going down? So if when your TSH goes up in conventional blood work a bunch above 5, sometimes above 4.5, they tell you you now have hypothyroidism or low thyroid function. They give you that diagnosis. If your TSH goes below 0.5, they tell you have hyperthyroidism or too much thyroid. If you're in between those two parameters, between 0.5 and 4.5 or 5.2, they tell you all is normal. Here's the problem, and there's a few of them. I've already brought up a couple of them, but one of them is your TSH can be normal, so it can be within those parameters, and you can have elevated thyroid antibodies, TPO, TGB, which is the beginning of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and because of that, you have all the symptoms of low thyroid. Your hair's falling out, you're gaining weight, you're constipated, you have low moods, no sex drive, PMS, infertility issues, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, joint pain, muscle pain, fibrofog, fatigue, hard to get out of bed, all those things that go with low thyroid, those can start to develop years before your TSH ever goes above 4.5 or 5.2, and then they finally diagnose you. Now, why don't they tell you this? Well, they don't tell you this because they don't have any way to treat it. So if they don't have any way to treat it, why would they test for it, and why would they want you to know about it? I mean, they just tell you, well, yeah, you have all the symptoms of low thyroid, but your thyroid tests are normal. Now, granted, again, important, they're doing basic testing, usually just your TSH. They're not testing the thyroid antibodies. They will tell you if you have elevated thyroid antibodies, maybe some maverick doctor like myself or some doctor who practices functional medicine like I do finds that, and they explain to you, you're in the beginning of Hashimoto's thyroiditis, that's why your thyroid is not working like it is, and that's why you have many of the symptoms that you do associated with your fibromyalgia. They'll say, well, we're just going to watch it. We're going to wait until your thyroid burns out, and that's what happens. The thyroid eventually is attacked and attacked and attacked and becomes dead. It burns out. Then what will happen, your TSH will go up, so it will go above 4.5, and they'll say, oh, now you have hypothyroidism. Now we can put you on medication. We'll put you on Synthroid, levothyroxine, or one of these other synthetic T4 medications. The problem is it could be 5 years or 10 years or 15 years while you have this underlying smoldering autoimmune thyroiditis called Hashimoto's going on, and you have all the symptoms of low thyroid. And what they're telling you, if they ever test for it, and they normally don't, they say, oh, we're just going to watch it. You know, they're going to watch you struggle day in and day out because your thyroid is not working like it's supposed to. Now, to complicate matters is that in 2004, this is 13 years ago now, the American College of Endocrinology came out and they said that they recommended that anybody's TSH was above 3.0, that they should be considered to be hypothyroid or have low thyroid function, and that they should be placed on thyroid medication. So this was something that they changed years ago. And unfortunately, which is typical in conventional medicine, it just somehow got lost. It's never been made into effect. And so many people will go into their doctor and they'll have all these symptoms of low thyroid, and the doctor will do a test and they'll tell them, oh, well, your TSH is at 3.8, you're fine. And they've missed the opportunity to really help this patient because their TSH is above 3.0. And in functional medicine, the way that I practice is that if anybody's TSH is above 3.0, they have hypothyroidism. It is, they have the disease, hypothyroidism, and they should be taking either prescription medication or over-the-counter supplements that I use in my practice to help correct that. The other thing that complicates it, as I mentioned earlier, is that many patients are actually taking thyroid medication, but they don't feel any better. And many patients are taking synthetic T4 and like levothyroxine or Synthroid, and they go back to their doctor every 6 months and they tell the doctor, you know, I really don't feel any better. I mean, I'm hardly can get out of bed. My hair's falling out. I've lost the lateral third of my eyebrows, you know, and I'm constipated. I just feel depressed and down and lethargic and can't lose any weight. In fact, it seems like I just keep gaining weight even though I'm not eating anything. And they say, oh, yeah, but your blood work is fine. Everything looks good. What they're not telling you, because many don't even know this, is that you may have a problem converting synthetic T4, levothyroxine or Synthroid, into the active T3. And if they're not doing a reverse T3 test, they'll never know that. Now, why don't they do a reverse T3? Because many doctors don't know it exists. They don't know anything about it. Your primary care doctor that you're going to or your rheumatologist certainly doesn't know anything about it. And those endocrinologists, most endocrinologists, don't buy into the whole thing about reverse T3, although the science is there. And so they don't test you, and you go back year after year. They never do anything with your medication, and you never feel any better because that medication is not working for you. So low thyroid, this whole thyroid conundrum is very frustrating. I know many of you are listening to this tonight thinking, God, it sounds just like me. You know, I'm not getting the testing I need to get, and I'm not getting any better, and I've been on thyroid medication. Or, yeah, you know, I do have all those symptoms. I bet you I do have low thyroid, but no one's ever properly diagnosed me. Well, what I want you what I want to encourage you to do is in my book, I go into the detail about the testing, but these are the tests that I would encourage you to get. And it's going to be hard a lot of times to get your doctor to do these tests, but these are the tests that I routinely do on patients that I work with. Again, 95% of my practice is phone consult. And when I'm working with the patient, I set it up so they can go locally in their town to get blood work done. And what I test for, I'm going to make sure I test for the TSH, free and total T4, because I want to see what both of those hormones are doing, not just T4, but I want to see what T3 is doing. I want to see the free version, how much is actually active, and I want to see how much is the total version, which is what's in the bloodstream. Then I want to see is there a problem with reverse T3? Is there a problem converting inactive T4 into active T3? I'm checking liver enzymes to make sure there's not an issue there. I'm going to check. Most of the time, I'll also check a stool sample to see if there's a problem with perhaps a conversion in the intestinal tract. Then I'm going to be checking for T3 uptake. Now, one of the things that compromises T3 uptake, the uptake of the active T3 hormone, is high estrogen levels. So those of you who are taking birth control or maybe doing hormone replacement therapy on estrogen, or those of you who've had a history of being estrogen dominant, which that would include anybody that's had fibrotumors or endometriosis, then there's a possibility that you're compromising the ability of T3 to be uptake, and that can be a problem. So that's got to be fixed as well. But you want to know that, and you can do that in the testing to at least know that that could be a problem. You want to check for TPO. In TGB antibodies, if those are elevated, then you know you've got the beginning of Hashimoto's thyroiditis. What causes the body to attack itself is autoimmune disease. It can be low vitamin D, so you want to know what your vitamin D level is, and you want to be taking vitamin D3, and I recommend you take 4,000 to 5,000 IUs a day. You want your level to be above 50. They'll tell you 30, but you want it above 50. If your vitamin D level is low, and low could be, for you, it may be, it could be 35. You know, it could be 40. Everybody's different. We're different on the inside as we're on the outside. So you always want optimal levels. You don't want to be a D student or an F student, you know, just getting by. You want to make sure that you're getting optimal levels, and that's why it's so important to take the right doses and combinations of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential fatty acids that I talk about in the book. And that's why I developed the CFS fibro formula and the other things that I developed in my practice. Now, vitamin D is one thing. If that's low, that can create problems with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Gluten, you hear a lot about people saying they're gluten intolerant, kind of a fad. But for those with a thyroid condition, that actually can be a problem. So when patients work with me, I test them for gluten intolerance. It could be that you've had a virus. So it might be with Epstein-Barr virus, mononucleovirus, cytomegalovirus, one of the herpes viruses, whatever it is. You've had that, and that shows up in your blood work, and that's attacking your thyroid. The good news is, unlike in conventional medicine, who has nothing to offer you to help you with Hashimoto's thyroiditis other than to let your thyroid get burned out and then put you on a synthetic medication that may or may not work, doctors who practice functional medicine like I do, we do have natural protocols that we can use to help correct this Hashimoto's thyroiditis and get the body working correctly so the thyroid function is at optimal levels instead of compromised. So I know that I have covered a lot of stuff this evening, and some of this may be over your head, but what I'd like to do is see about taking some questions.
What?
So I know I covered a lot of stuff. Some of that's very nerdy. I go into detail about it in my book. I try to make it as simple as possible. There's also free webinars on my website, free videos that go into detail about the thyroid and how it can be causing some of your symptoms that you see with fibromyalgia. So I encourage you to check those out. But again, if you've got a question, if you'll hit *6, that'll bring you on the line live, and I'll take your questions.
Hello.
Yes, your name?
This is Renee Bradley, and I'm a registered nurse. And my question is, will any LabCorp or anything like that, will they do all these tests? Or do I have to use a special lab?
They will do. So depending on what state you're in, I've got relationships with labs throughout North America and even overseas. So in the United States, I typically use LabCorp or Quest.
Okay.
Sometimes, depending on the situation, Renee, some of that blood work has to be sent out to specialty labs, but the majority of that can be done actually, you know, in your local lab. It sure can.
Okay. Do you know what diagnosis you can use to cover this, or do I just...
I don't,
just
off the top of my head, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know off the top of my head. I sure don't.
Okay. Well, I have all the symptoms. That's the reason I do have fibromyalgia. I've had it for several years. The only thing I'm taking right
mm-hmm.
now is Cymbalta.
Uh-huh.
I've stayed
mm-hmm.
away from everything
mm-hmm.
else, and I've used your vitamins and your thyroid
good.
Supplement.
Good, good, good.
But I didn't know if the thyroid
yeah.
supplement will take care of this or if I still need the testing.
I would encourage the testing, and so, you know, depending on how well or how poorly you're doing with your fibro, you know, if you're doing great, then I would keep doing what you're doing. If you're not doing so great, I would consider doing a consult.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome. If you got a question, if you'll hit star 6, that'll bring you on the line live. And if you look in the book, now it'll go into detail about the different testing in there, so it'll have it all listed out for you. I know I'll throw out a lot of different terminology tonight, reverse T3, T4, T3s, but it is in the book. And if you've not read the book, if you don't have the book, I would encourage you to get the book. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it on my website. But I would encourage you to get the book if you're not and start applying the protocols that are in the book and see how far you can get. You know, what you need to realize, and I say this every teleconference, but fibromyalgia is just a name. Fibromyalgia doesn't cause anything. Fibromyalgia is just a name given to people who have these common symptoms that we see with fibromyalgia, which is the pain, the fatigue, the low energy, the poor sleep, low moods, irritable bowel, restless leg syndrome. All these symptoms come underneath the fibromyalgia name, but fibromyalgia doesn't cause anything. It's just a name. And what you want to know is what causes the low energy, what causes the pain, what causes the poor sleep, what causes the low moods, what causes the IBS, what causes restless leg syndrome. In conventional medicine, they tell you it's fibromyalgia, and then they put you on a drug for every symptom. And before you know it, you're on half a dozen drugs to a dozen drugs, a drug to wake you up, a drug to put you to sleep, a drug to slow you down, a drug to speed you up. And every drug has a potential side effect. And pretty soon, you're on all these drugs, and you don't know if they're helping or hurting. If you look at the side effects of Ambien, they're the very same symptoms you'd see in fibromyalgia. Diffuse achy muscle pain, flu-like achy pain, fibro fog, incoordination, balance issues, mood disorders, low moods, anxiety. If you look at Lyrica, the same thing. It can cause diffuse achy muscle pain, anxiety, depression, fibro fog. The list just goes on and on. So when you're taking these medications, do you know, are they helping or not? And, of course, you don't, because if you're with fibromyalgia, you know already that, you know, you might have a good day, but you have a lot of bad days. And so you just never know if these things are helping, and they just start to stack up. And before you know it, like I said, you may be on a dozen drugs, like most of the patients they are when they first start working with me. Fortunately, by using the right protocols and doing the testing, I'm able to tell them exactly what supplements they need to be on, what protocols they need to be on, and pretty soon they start feeling better. They're able to wean off their medications. 95% of my patients are able to get off 99% of the drugs they're on when they start with me. Now, there's obviously some exceptions. If you've got heart palpitations or arrhythmias or things like that, you have to be on medication. You have to. But if you're on blood pressure medication because you're 40 pounds overweight, that's easy. You just have to lose the weight. And, of course, you know, people say, well, I can't lose the weight. I've got fibromyalgia. I look at food and I gain weight. Well, that's because you probably got something wrong with your thyroid. But once I fix the underlying issues of the low energy, the low metabolism, like low thyroid and adrenal fatigue, now they can be on a diet that I use in my patients, and they lose the weight. And as they lose the weight, they have more energy, they have less pain, they feel better, and they keep the weight off 4 or 5 years later because I have found and helped them fix the underlying issues of their problem. So if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you can take a big step in the right direction, and that is set up a phone consult. So 95% of my practice is phone consults. I work with patients all over the world. After you set up a phone consultation, I'll go through your questionnaire, any labs you send me. We'll go through all that together, and I'll share with you what you need to do or don't need to do to feel good again. I'll share with you what I think are the problems and then what you need to do and how to fix those problems, and I'll give you options about how you can work with me, and you'll choose the option that works best for you. But within a 30, 45-minute phone call with me, it'll take all the guesswork out of what you need to do. You could try for years to try to figure this out. You know, you won't. I mean, I've studied this 20 years, but most doctors don't, unfortunately, believe in fibromyalgia. The ones that do don't know what to do with it. And so if you're trying to figure it out, you know, good luck. I mean, it's hard to be your own doctor, and I would encourage you to get some coaching. And you can do that by going to my website, yourfibrodoctor.com, and you can see a place there where you can learn more about the consultations that I do by phone. Or if you'd like to come to Birmingham, Alabama, you certainly can do that. I have a clinic here. I see patients in clinic as well, but most of my practice is phone consults. And I'd like to encourage you, if you really want this year to be different than last year, you're going to have to change what you're doing. You can't keep doing the same things and expecting different results. So if you've been trying to figure this out on your own and you can't, then I would encourage you, it's probably time to set up a phone consult with me. And again, you can do that by going to the website, yourfibrodoctor.com, or to fibroconsults.com. If you've not read my book, I encourage you to get the book. There's a tremendous amount of information in there. It's unlike any book I think that's out there. It's not about telling you to exercise or lose weight. It actually has protocols, step-by-step things that you can do that actually make a difference. It's not about learning to live with it. I didn't write the book to encourage you to learn to live with it. Fibromyalgia, nobody wants to live with fibromyalgia. You want to overcome it. And that's what that book is all about. If you doubt that you can, and many of you probably still do, if you look at my website, yourfibrodoctor.com, you'll see there's about 80 testimonials on there, before and after pictures. There's audios, and many of them actually have the transcripts so you can actually read their testimonies. So it is very much possible to feel good again, and I would encourage you to take the big step to make this year a different year. Don't just learn to exist day to day. I mean, that's not living. That's not living. I encourage you to join me each and every Tuesday night for my Training to Be Fibromyalgia teleconference. And next Tuesday night, I'm going over frequently asked questions. I've got a pile of email that has come in. I'm going to go over what you can do to help with your pain, to help boost your energy, to help with IBS, to help with migraines. I'm going to be giving you protocols, like I did tonight, in depth, to help you with that. So I encourage you to tune in next Tuesday night, and please share with others, maybe in your support group or other people you know have fibromyalgia, that I do this Tuesday night telephone conference every Tuesday night. Same call-in number, same access code at the same time. Thanks for joining me. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, yourfibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Hope you have a good night.